Part 8, Packaging and EPR. Chapter 33. The box is now a regulated product. Welcome back. In part 7, we walked through CE marking, the GPSR, product liability, all the ways the EU has decided your product needs to earn its place on the market. And right at the end, I mentioned there was one more layer coming, one that people almost always forget, one that's been hiding in plain sight for years. The packaging. Not the product, not the label. The box it ships in. The polybag around it, the padding inside, the film wrap, all of it is now a compliance subject. The EU Packaging Regulation, officially called the PPWR, which stands for Packaging and Packaging Waste Regulation, was published in the EU Official Journal on January 22, 2025. It entered into force on February 11, 2025. And unlike previous EU packaging rules, which were directives that member states could interpret their own way, this one is a regulation. Directly applicable law in all 27 member states. No national exceptions, no room for local interpretation. What it says goes. And what it says is this: packaging is no longer just a means of transport. It is part of the compliance system. Anyone who puts packaged goods on the EU market, whether you manufactured them, sourced them, or imported them, is now responsible for what they're wrapped in. So why now? Why the box? Because Europe generates an enormous amount of packaging waste. According to Eurostat, roughly 79.7 million tons of it in 2023 alone. That's around 178 kilograms per person per year. Slight drop from the year before, but still well above 2013 levels. And that number has been climbing for decades, while national rules stayed fragmented, inconsistent, and full of gaps. The PPWR is the EU's answer to that. It's part of the European Green Deal and the Circular Economy Action Plan. Four objectives, and all four of them reach directly into operations. First, less packaging waste. And these are not suggestions. Binding targets: 5% reduction by 2030, 10% by 2035, 15% by 2040, all relative to a 2018 baseline. Numbers tied to dates. Second, a circular economy mandate. All packaging must be recyclable by 2030 and must contain a defined minimum share of recycled material. Third, a hard push away from single-use packaging toward reuse. Fourth, harmonization across the entire single market. One rule for everyone. Which sounds like simplification, until you realize that some member states had very comfortable exceptions for a very long time. Those disappear. Now, the PPWR doesn't flip on like a light switch at one date. It rolls out in stages. And this is exactly what makes it operationally demanding, because each stage builds on the one before it. February 2025. The regulation exists as binding EU law. That already happened. August 2026. The 18-month transition period ends. Most provisions become effective for business. This is the date most companies are scrambling toward right now. August 2028. Harmonized recycling symbols become mandatory on all packaging sold in the EU. The old national symbols go away. One EU-wide system replaces them. February 2028. Reuse options for takeaway food and beverages become compulsory. 2029. Deposit and return systems for single-use beverage containers must exist. January 2030. The big one. Empty space in packaging capped at 50% of total volume. Recyclability mandatory for all packaging. Certain single-use packaging banned outright. First phase of minimum recycled content for plastic begins. And 2040, the second phase, significantly higher quotas.
Here's the thing people miss when they look at the timeline. Packaging has production lead times. If you're manufacturing your product 4 to 6 months before it hits the EU market, which most importers are, your packaging changeover has to happen before that. Anyone who waits until the deadline to start has already shipped non-compliant goods. The deadline is not the start line, it's the finish line. and the finish line is closer than it looks on the calendar. Now, before we get into what specifically has to change, let me tell you who exactly this regulation is talking to. Because most people, when they hear packaging regulation, assume it's someone else's problem. A manufacturer's problem, a packaging supplier's problem, rarely their own problem. That assumption has a cost. The PPWR creates defined roles with defined obligations. Producer, if you have products made under your own name and brand, and if you're a private label importer from Asia, that's you. You carry primary responsibility for packaging conformity. You didn't physically glue the box together in a factory. Doesn't matter. The brand name makes it yours. Importer. EU-based businesses placing packaged goods from third countries onto the EU market. That's the core role for most people listening to this. Distributor, final distributor, end user. All defined, all with their own obligations. And here's the one that trips people up. Many sellers assume they're just distributors, passing along someone else's product in someone else's packaging. That's only true if you are exclusively reselling other brands' packaged products and you've never put your own packaging around anything. The moment you use your own outer box, your own poly bag, your own branded packaging of any kind, you move into producer territory, with the full obligation set that comes with it. A brand name on the box is a signature under the PPWR. Sign carefully. There's one narrow set of exemptions for micro enterprises. Under 10 employees, under 2 million euros annual balance sheet, some simplified obligations there. But the core requirements on packaging design and labeling, those apply regardless of company size. The PPWR doesn't check your revenue before it asks for compliance. This is one of those areas where the book goes considerably deeper. The role definitions, the obligation matrices, the specific carve-outs. Here you just need the principle locked in. If your brand is on the product, your compliance is on the packaging. In the next chapter, what that compliance actually looks like, what changes about the packaging itself, and where the EPR system fits in.
Chapter 34. What has to change? Design, recyclability, and EPR. All right, the regulation exists, the roads are defined. Now the operational part. What does the PPWR actually require you to change about your packaging? Three major areas: design and materials, recyclability and recycled content, and labeling. Then we'll get into EPR, which is its own architecture entirely. Let's start with what's probably the most immediate design requirement. From January 2030, secondary and transport packaging, including e-commerce packaging, may not contain more than 50% empty space relative to the product volume. 50% sounds generous until you look at what most standard packaging actually ships. An online seller using a 40 by 30 by 20 centimeter box for a product that's 15 by 10 by 5 and filling the rest with air and padding? That packaging won't pass. Shipping air was never exactly economical. Now it becomes illegal too. That's one way to get policy and profit moving in the same direction. Alongside the empty space rule, so-called slack fill packaging is also banned from 2030. Packaging that uses double walls, false bottoms, or extra layers to make the product look bigger than it is. Cosmetics, food, consumer electronics, historically all big users of the oversized box as marketing tool. That chapter closes. And certain single-use plastic packaging disappears entirely from 2030 as well. Single-use packaging for unprocessed fruit and vegetables. Packaging for food and beverages in restaurants and cafes. Single-portion items. Coffee creamer, sugar sachets, sauce packets. Hotel amenity packaging. Plastic carrier bags under 15 micrometers wall thickness. For the typical e-commerce importer, most of those bans don't touch you directly. But if you're in food, hospitality, or hotel amenities, this is a structural rethink, not a cosmetic one. Now recyclability, and this is where the requirements get precise. The PPWR defines three grades. Grade A, at least 95% recyclable. Grade B, at least 80%. Grade C, at least 70%. By 2030, all packaging must be recyclable. The exact technical criteria are being finalized by the European Commission by 2028. Which means the targets are fixed right now, but the precise definition of what counts as recyclable is still being written. That's not exactly comfortable, but it's where things stand. What it means practically, materials that are obviously not recyclable, certain composite materials, mixed plastics, heavily coated films, should be coming out of your packaging planning now.
Waiting for the final specification to appear surprised is not a strategy. Move on the obvious ones. Then watch for the technical definitions in 2028. Recycled content in plastic packaging. Two phases. Phase 1, from January 1, 2030. Contact-sensitive packaging using PET as the primary material must contain at least 30% recycled content. Contact-sensitive packaging in other plastics, 10%. Single-use plastic beverage bottles, 30%. All other plastic packaging, 35%. Phase 2, from January 1, 2040. The quotas go up significantly. PET contact-sensitive, 50%. Other plastics contact-sensitive, 25%. Beverage bottles, 65%. All other plastic, 65%. And here's the trap. These quotas don't work as an average across your product range. They apply per packaging unit, per material type. If you have three different plastic packaging formats, each one gets checked individually against the recycled content requirement. The average across the portfolio doesn't count. Each unit stands on its own. Labeling. Three new requirements coming in.
From August 2028, all packaging must carry EU-wide harmonized recycling symbols. The old national symbols, the German green dot, the French Triman, others, get replaced by one unified system. The final pictogram designs will be confirmed through a European Commission implementing act expected in August 2026. Right now, only drafts are circulating, loosely modeled on the Scandinavian EU PICTO system. What this means practically, if you are designing packaging now that goes to market after August 2028, reserve space in the artwork layout for these symbols. You don't know the exact design yet, but you can estimate the space needed. Anyone who waits until the final symbols are published before touching the layout will lose weeks in the supply chain. The supply chain doesn't pause for artwork approvals. Material composition must be disclosed, either on the packaging itself or through digital access. For importers who source packaging from Asia, this means material data must come from the packaging manufacturer and be made accessible. A supplier data sheet that says recyclable in one line is no longer sufficient documentation. You need verifiable data. Recycled content for plastic must be labeled as well, which presupposes that you actually know what the recycled content is, have it documented, and can prove it. And reusable packaging must be labeled as such. Let me say the supplier point again because it matters. Your packaging supplier in China does not know EU packaging law. They are not responsible for your compliance. You are. The verification task sits on your side of the supply chain, not theirs. Now EPR, Extended Producer Responsibility. This isn't new as a concept. It's been around in various national forms for years. The PPWR standardizes and expands it across the EU, and it is the part of this regulation that creates the most ongoing operational overhead. EPR means, as the person placing packaging onto the EU market, you are financially and administratively responsible for what happens to that packaging at end of life. Concretely, three obligations. Registration. You must register with the relevant national EPR registry in each EU country where you sell. In Germany, that's the Zentrale Stelle Verpackungsregister, the Central Packaging Register, which runs a system called LUCID. Other countries have their own systems. France has its own registry, Austria has its own, Spain has its own. This is not a one-and-done registration. It is per country. For sellers active in multiple EU markets, that means multiple registrations, potentially multiple service providers, multiple reporting cycles, licensing fees. You pay fees based on the quantity and material type of packaging you place on the market. These fees fund the collection and recycling infrastructure. They are real costs. They need to be calculated and factored into your pricing. Anyone who does not build EPR licensing costs into their landed cost calculation is quietly eroding margin. The fees vary by country, by material, by volume. There's no single number. There's a country-by-country calculation to be done. Reporting. You must submit regular reports on the quantities of packaging you've placed on each market. These feed into national recycling accounting systems. Miss a reporting cycle and the consequences range from warnings to fines to platform suspensions. And the marketplace dimension, because this one has a direct practical impact on how you operate.
Platforms like Amazon, eBay and others must verify that sellers operating through them have fulfilled their EPR obligations. They check registrations. They can request proof of compliance.
Anyone selling on Amazon or eBay must expect to be asked for EPR registration numbers. Anyone who cannot provide them risks account restrictions or listing suspensions. The mechanism is familiar. It's the same compliance gate process you've seen with CE marking and GPSR. Packaging is now a new verification field in that same flow. And FBA, fulfillment by Amazon, creates one additional nuance. If Amazon uses its own shipping box around your product, the PPWR obligation for that outer box is Amazon's. But if you deliver your product to the FBA warehouse already packaged in your own product packaging, the PPWR obligation for that packaging is yours. The line of responsibility follows who put the packaging on the product. It sounds simple. It is simple. Make sure you know which side of the line your packaging sits on before it becomes a problem. There's a full chapter in the book working through EPR country by country. Registration procedures, fee structures, reporting timelines, authorized representatives for non-EU sellers. Here the priority is the structure. Registration, fees, reporting. Three obligations per country, ongoing. Not one time, ongoing. In the last chapter, what to actually do about all of this, in what order, starting when.
Chapter 35. What to do now. Sequence, timing, and the cost of waiting. Okay, you now know what the PPWR is, why it exists, who it applies to, what it demands from packaging design, and what EPR means in practice, which is useful. What's more useful is knowing what to actually do next, in what order, without overcomplicating it. So let's work through the practical sequence. 5 steps. And they build on each other, so skipping one doesn't save time. It just moves the problem downstream, where it costs more. Step 1. Inventory. Before you can fix anything, you need to know what you have. Create a complete list of every packaging format you currently use. For each one, material, weight, volume, and crucially, how much of that volume is empty space. If you skip this step and go straight to implementation, you're optimizing blindly, which is efficient only in the sense that it wastes your time faster. Map the current state first. Alongside the inventory, identify your role under the PPWR. Producer, importer, manufacturer, distributor. The role defines the obligation set. And assign a responsible person inside your business for PPWR compliance. Not someone will handle it, someone specific. Then build a timeline backward from the relevant deadlines, factoring in your supply chain lead times. Packaging lead times from Asian suppliers typically run 4 to 12 weeks. A packaging changeover that needs to be done by August 2026 needs to be ordered considerably before August 2026. Step 2. Adapt the packaging. Once you know what you have, you know what needs to change. Start with the obvious cases. High empty space, obviously non-recyclable materials. These are the clearest non-conformities and the easiest to prioritize. For each format that doesn't pass, research recyclable alternatives, evaluate higher recycled content options, assess reuse alternatives where the economics make sense. Then bring your suppliers into that conversation. Send them a packaging brief that includes not just transport protection and aesthetics, include the PPWR requirements, maximum empty space ratio, material specification with recyclability assessment, recycled content data for plastics, placeholder dimensions for harmonized recycling symbols in the artwork. If the supplier can provide the data, good. If they can't, that tells you something equally important. Step 3. Labeling. 2 streams running in parallel. First, reserve space in your artwork layout for the harmonized recycling symbols now, even though the final pictogram designs won't be confirmed until the European Commission's Implementing Act, expected around August 2026. Estimate the space, hold it. Anyone who only updates the artwork after the final symbols are published will lose weeks in production. Weeks you don't have when a product relaunch or a seasonal order is in the queue. Second, build a system for documenting and labeling recycled content in plastic packaging. Because you need to know the number, document it, and print it. 3 separate steps, all of which require data from your packaging supplier. Step 4. EPR administration. This is the operational layer that runs permanently once it's set up. And the setup itself takes time. Identify which EU countries you sell into. Check the registration requirements for each.
In Germany, register with LUCID. In other countries, identify the relevant national registry and process. For sellers active in multiple EU markets, consider working with a specialized EPR compliance service provider. There are several that handle multi-country registrations and reporting in one system. They are not free, but neither are fines, and neither is the staff time to manage 5 separate country registrations manually. Calculate your expected licensing fees by material type and volume, and build those costs into your landed cost calculation and pricing. Before the first sale under the new system, not after. Then set up a documentation system. Packaging quantities by material, by market, by reporting period. This needs to be retrievable without a treasure hunt through email folders. Step 5. Monitoring. Because the PPWR is not a regulation you comply with once and forget. It is a living regulation. Delegated acts are being added on an ongoing basis. Technical specifications for recyclability are still being developed. The final recycling symbol designs come in 2026. Anyone who treats the 2025 version as final will encounter surprises. Set a cadence for checking updates. Assign the monitoring responsibility to whoever owns your regulatory tracking. Build an escalation process for when something changes, because something will change. Now let me say clearly what this costs, because that number needs to live in your planning. EPR licensing fees vary by country, material, and volume. As a rough orientation, a small to mid-sized seller placing modest packaging volumes on 1 or 2 EU markets is typically looking at a few hundred to low thousands of euros per year in licensing fees. Sometimes more, depending on the packaging weight and material mix. Those are real costs, not hypothetical. Not avoidable. They are part of the cost of selling packaged goods in the EU. Factor them in. Packaging changeover costs depend entirely on how far your current packaging is from compliance. A format with 60% empty space needs a different box. A format using composite film that can't be recycled needs a material switch. A format with no recycled content in its plastic layer needs a supplier conversation or a supplier change. Some of these are straightforward. Some take multiple development cycles. None of them happen overnight, and all of them have lead times. Now the cost of waiting. If you wait until August 2026 to start, you are starting when most of the transition period has already elapsed. Your packaging supplier needs lead time. Your artwork updates need lead time. Your EPR registration needs to be processed before your first sale under the new rules. The marketplace compliance check can come before that. Stack those timelines and the math becomes uncomfortable quickly. And if Amazon asks for your packaging compliance documentation before you have it, that conversation does not go well.
The businesses that come out of this transition well are the ones who started the inventory and the supplier conversations now, before pressure, not under it. Not because they're especially virtuous about regulation, because starting early is cheaper, every time. Let me close with a quick word on the EU-based sellers who source from outside the EU and the sellers who are based outside the EU entirely. If you are outside the EU and selling into the EU market, you need an authorized representative inside the EU for EPR obligations. Same principle as a GPSR authorized representative, a person or entity within the EU who can respond to authorities, who is reachable in the EU time zone, and who formally takes on the EPR responsibility on your behalf. This is not optional, and the authorized representative needs to be in place before you ship, not after you get flagged. Here's where I want to leave you on this part. The PPWR is complex, but it is not chaos. It has clear deadlines, it has defined roles, it has a logical sequence of requirements. The businesses that handle it well are the ones who treat it the same way they treat product compliance, as a structured process with a checklist, a timeline, and someone responsible for both. The businesses that struggle are the ones who treat it as someone else's problem until it isn't, and then try to build a compliance setup in 6 weeks. 6 weeks is not enough time. It wasn't enough for CE marking, it wasn't enough for the GPSR, and it won't be enough for the PPWR either. Packaging was long the last afterthought in the import chain. The box you ordered the same day as the product, with roughly as much thought as you gave the packing tape. With the PPWR, packaging becomes its own compliance discipline, with its own documentation, its own registration obligations, its own fees, its own deadlines. What was incidental becomes essential. The book walks through the full implementation in detail. The EPR registry landscape country by country, the fee calculation methodology, the supplier brief templates, the documentation structure that actually holds up under an audit. Everything you need to turn this regulation from a headline into a system. And systems, as we've established more than once, are the only thing that actually scales. You now know what the PPWR demands. You know the sequence to get there. You know what waiting costs. Everything you need to start is in front of you. The box was always part of the product. Now it's official. See you in part 9. We're moving into logistics and import. Transport modes, Incoterms, customs clearance, HS codes. The part of the chain where things either arrive on time and on budget or quietly become someone else's emergency. All of it next.